the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. The final day of this short week. It is indeed Friday. In case you're still messed up on what day it is indeed not Thursday. You get the weekend coming up here. Oh, that so messed me up on Tuesday, Hunter, having that being the first day back from work.
I know.
Confused the heck out of me.
It does throw you off.
It does. Fortunately, we won't have any more holidays coming up until, I guess that would be Thanksgiving time.
Halloween.
Yeah, let's,
oh, I guess.
Yeah,
mean,
taking one off. Halloween's still sure. Definitely a holiday. I love Halloween. I haven't dressed up in quite a while, though, but still always have fun hanging out with friends. Do you dress up for Halloween?
Oh, yeah.
What were you last year? I thought you dressed up as something and came to the station.
I can't remember.
Were you a Star Wars themed?
I have been. So I was Luke Skywalker one year with the helmet,
man.
And then the
orange
jumpsuit.
Oh, you kind of have the hair to pull that off too.
and then I didn't do this, but I've got my dog Emmy Lou with today, and she's a Chihuahua, so I was going to be a Taco Bell employee with her. Maybe I'll do it this year then.
Exactly. Hey, by the way, since you did mention we have a special guest on today's program, a guest that probably won't be behind the microphone, I haven't heard her bark once at all today. So
she's very quiet.
She's a very quiet dog, a Chihuahua named Emmy Lou. Hunter's dog is our third special guest, part of the repartee today. And I have to say, I don't know if you saw this, Hunter, but Governor Tim Walz finally got a dog for his family because he promised if he had won the gubernatorial election, he would get his family a dog. They ended up picking up a rescue black Labrador by the name of Scout. A cute dog. I don't know. I think Emmy Lou might have something on Scout, though, if you look up the pictures.
He's adorable.
Yeah. So there you go. A kind of a dog day, I guess. We're out of the dog days of summer, technically. I don't know necessarily what you call the season when it's between Labor Day and when fall actually starts. It's kind of one of those weird in-between seasons.
The beginning of football.
Exactly. Hey, speaking of, look at our transitions here. It's like we plan these out. We haven't worked together like in 3 months, but yeah, we still got the transitions going. So yeah, football last night, you said you watched the Packers and the Bears game. Which I'm sorry you had to go through that. That was a bad, bad game. I ended up switching over to baseball because that football game was so terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 10-3, the Packers ended up winning it, so they are in first place. Hopefully the only time they will be in first place this season. But the reason I'm bringing up sports and football is that going back to the state fair surveys that we were talking about on yesterday's program, the state Senate actually polled people asking, should Minnesota legalize betting on professional sports? So I'm going to ask you off the cuff here, Hunter, what do you think the results would have shown, being that people or asking people if they're in favor of legalizing sports betting?
I saw the results. So.
Oh, you're cheating. Okay, well, never mind. Then don't. You would have really impressed me if you said, well, I would have guessed it would have been 47.59% no and 31.57% yes, which surprised me that we had quite a big plurality of people saying no, they do not support the legalization of sports betting.
I didn't understand why average person would not want the option of doing something.
Mm-hmm.
So I was surprised too.
Yeah, and apparently, according to the Morning Consult, who does lots of polling, they say a full 15% of the country's adult population is expected to wager on games during the upcoming season. I believe that doesn't include fantasy football. These are people that are probably just using, like, what are the big ones, like DraftKings and FanDuel? Mm-hmm. Where they might be going those avenues or picking games. 15% of the population, that seems really high because I have no desire whatsoever to bet on sports. In fact, I haven't even played fantasy football like in 10 years. It doesn't do anything for me, even though I do like watching football among other sports.
Well, what about like with your friends, like your Packer friend?
I don't have any Packer fans.
Well,
I know
lucky
better.
Lucky you.
Yeah.
But I mean, that doesn't sound that weird. Like, I bet you $5 the Vikings will beat the Packers.
I suppose, yeah, if you do something. I don't know if that. Well, that's an interesting part now, going back to the surveys. That includes those very informal. Yeah, I bet you $5. Yeah, the Packers beat the Vikings, or the Vikings beat the Packers.
Yeah, does it include
what
that?
What I'm gathering is that this is more formal gambling,
sure,
where you're actually going through to a casino or a website. Yeah, I wonder if it'd be a lot higher if you're including, yeah, just the fun ones. Yeah, because I've done those before.
Interesting, too, is that Iowa just legalized sports betting, and they now opened up all these like casinos right on the border of Minnesota, so people will drive down and place bets to the Iowa-Minnesota border.
So Iowa's beating us to the punch on that part, huh? So you can do legalized betting in the state of Iowa. So I don't know necessarily where I come down on that. Just very formal betting like that has never really appealed to me very much. But apparently it's on the mind of people who are in the state senate since they included that on their state fair poll. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205 is the way you can get a hold of us. You can also email us at comment@am950radio.com. And we actually received a couple of emails last night responding to Mark and Fridley's calls from yesterday when he mentioned the movie Official Secrets. This is a movie that's basically about Catherine Gunn, as Mark explained. She was a whistleblower that worked for the British government, where the gist of kind of what happened, in case you missed yesterday's show, was that, well, she received this email from the United States government, which basically was encouraging the Brits to try to find dirt on United Nations officials so that back in 2003, they would end up voting for the Iraq War, a UN resolution supporting the Iraq War. So back in 2003, yeah, the U.S. was asking the Brits to find dirt and try to blackmail UN officials so that, well, basically they would endorse the Iraq War. She ended up releasing this email to the public in Britain and, well, for a while got into some legal trouble. Fortunately, they ended up dropping the charges in Britain against her, largely due to public pressure. But this movie is coming out about Catherine Gunn called Official Secrets and the lead up to the Iraq War. And we had a couple people mention that some local theaters are actually going to be showing this film in the coming days. In fact, it looks like Thursday, September 12th, is going to be when there is the first showing of the movie at the Edina Landmark Theater. And that's thanks to Steve Paul, who sent us that email. Also heard an email as well from Sharon, who said that she was guessing that 50th and France Theater might end up showing that movie. So sounds like a good one to go see. I watched the trailer for it, and as Mark said yesterday, a lot of big names in that movie. So I don't know. That sounds like maybe a fun movie night to do at some point here at AM 950. We've been working on trying to get movie nights going again for 950, and that would certainly be a good one to see, especially since it's a first-run movie and really brings up what happened in that lead-up to the Iraq War, because it's easy to forget about what happened during the Bush administration with what you're seeing with Trump, because Trump almost makes the Bush administration seem very innocent and very sane, but all you got to do is go back and look at some of the things they did, especially in that lead up to Iraq. And as, of course, you say often on your podcast, prosecute the Bush administration for war crimes.
So the Bush administration, you had Cheney working in the background. So Donald Trump's very forward, very obvious, and like a big blatant distraction, where the Bush administration was working sneakily what they were doing.
Yeah, they were probably better at it too, because at the very least of what we have with the Trump administration, they're probably more extreme in some areas than the Bush administration. They're at least not very good at implementing their policies, because one thing to give the Bush administration credit for in a kind of an evil way is that they could get Congress basically to pass whatever they wanted. Cheney would basically go to the House of Representatives. At the time, the speaker was Denny Hastert. The same thing with the Republican Senate Majority Leader. And they would pretty much pass whatever Cheney and the Bush administration wanted them to. So they were much better at actually getting through their legislation. And then, of course, Bush went on to sign many executive orders as well. In fact, I believe a lot more than Obama ended up signing during his final few years in office. All right, let's turn to some local news before we head to our first break. I want to just briefly touch on what you guys were talking about during the last hour, and that's these racist incidents we've been seeing in the Eastern Carver County School District, which is basically Chaska and Chanhassen, that kind of area down there. So there's been several incidents over the past year of just some awful, awful things that are happening to students of color. And now the school district is actually getting sued in a 50-page federal lawsuit. It alleges that African-American students have been called monkey, told they don't belong, physically assaulted, racially profiled, and even threatened to be killed because of their skin color. There are several other incidents that have been highlighted, including in December of 2018, where a black middle school student discovered that white students had stolen his gym shirt, written the N-word on the shirt in three places, and stuffed it back in his locker room for him to find.
Not only find, wear for weeks. Yeah. He had to wear it under his regular shirt and didn't come forward because he felt pressure or like he was nervous about it. So he wore this shirt.
I mean, it's very much an aspect of bullying where, yeah, you are very nervous to actually turn in the perpetrators mm-hmm. of who's bullying you. So I certainly could buy why he would end up wearing that, even though he, of course, probably didn't want to. And just the date on that is crazy as well. That's December of 2018. That's not December of 1988 or December of 1968. That's December of 2018. Other incidents back in February of this year, by the way, a picture of two white students wearing a charcoal cosmetic mask and using a racist hashtag blackface went viral on social media. That very same month, the lawsuit claims district officials refused to allow African-American students to display several of their Black History Month posters because they were too controversial. And literally, as you said, Hunter, last hour, all they had on these posters were basically quotes and pictures of Barack Obama and Martin Luther King.
Yep, I just tweeted them out. It's Michael Jordan, Muhammad Ali, the Obamas, but the least offensive poster. I mean, you got to have something really wrong with your head if you are offended by anything on those posters.
Do me a favor. Can you tweet that on AM950's account as well?
Yeah, we'll get that.
If you can get that up there. Yeah, I'm interested in seeing that picture as well. They were too controversial, yet they also allowed the All Lives Matter sign that several white students displayed. That was allowed at the school. And if you're not familiar, All Lives Matter is basically the white rebuttal to Black Lives Matter. And there's a lot of racial undertones there that we won't get into on this show. But go ahead and just Google it and you'll easily find out why All Lives Matter is not a good phrase. There were several other incidents, including in April, where, as you brought up last hour, how would you map 25 African-American students' addresses? That's essentially what they did. They picked up the addresses of 25 African-American students and actually posted this on a map for people to look at. That's a lot of effort, mm-hmm. as you said, to go through.
And God, that is just, talk about like fear. And I mean, that you are such a target at that point, and it's terrible, and no consequences for.
Yeah, and they labeled where they lived Negro Hill on this superimposed Google map. Then, of course, just 4 months ago, the district allowed a picture of a white student wearing blackface to be printed in the Chaska School yearbook. So, of course, the Chaska School District is getting sued right now, or I guess technically known as the Eastern Carver County School District. They are getting sued, and the only way this seems to be solved is probably by just delivering a massive lawsuit, because money seems to be the only thing that's going to get the district to change. Because, well, basically what happened was is that the superintendent wrote an open letter to Keith Ellison, who now is the attorney general, saying they've been working on this issue since 2017, trying to make things better in the school. Well, as we just read, all of these incidents took place after 2017. So that might be the only solution, is to levy some massive lawsuit against the school district, because maybe money will actually get them trying to invest in terms of trying to solve this problem. 952-946-6205. Hunter, has there been much talk about this, like at school board meetings or just in general around town in Chaska?
Yeah, there is a blatant big uproar that people are upset about this, but still there's just no action being taken.
The only actions, yeah, as I said, I can think of are putting a huge lawsuit against the school district to kind of get them to wake up if they face a multi-million dollar lawsuit. Or the other thing you could probably end up doing is just voting out the entire school board. That might be where you need the change as well, because that's the only way you're going to remove some of these district officials is if you actually go to the elected portion of the district, which is the school board, and have to see when some of those terms are up. But hopefully If any of those terms are up this fall or coming up next year, hopefully there's some campaigns launched there to try to get change in the Eastern Carver County School District. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. All right, ahead on the show, we're going to be talking about Amazon because I have a kind of an interesting story about what happened with one of the Amazon delivery trucks in my neighborhood nearly hitting a couple of pedestrians. And I did some more research on this, and apparently if an Amazon delivery truck actually hits you or hits a neighbor or hits any pedestrian, Amazon is not legally responsible for what happens. Absolutely crazy. We're also going to be talking about what's happening with vaping because I'm wondering if people who are against recreational marijuana might try to take advantage of what's been happening with some of these reported vaping deaths to get people to go against recreational marijuana. We're going to talk about those two topics and take your calls coming up next on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee with Brett and Hunter. Also ahead, we are going to be giving away tickets to Seavers Fall Festival. I'll tell you how you can win tickets in a few minutes as well. We're back in a few. You won't let things
unwind. Hi, it's Tom Hartman. You know, Continental Diamond is special for a lot of reasons. The owners are Jimmy and Helene Pessis, a husband and wife team who had a dream to open their own store more than 30 years ago. They built a business that is the gold standard. The readers of Minnesota Bride Magazine have named Continental Diamond the best jeweler for the last 7 years. Why? Amazing, friendly, no-pressure customer service, a selection of fine diamonds and design jewelry unlike anywhere else, and the fresh-baked chocolate chip cookies are pretty great, too. Continental Diamond in St. Louis Park and at ContinentalDiamond.com.
This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell.
Freddie, this generation of the baby boomers, people are living longer, so the baby boomers are taking care of elderly parents.
Let's talk about your health, and specifically, let's talk about Medicare. Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, and even entertainment.
Join us for New Beginnings, Saturday mornings at 11, brought to you in part by Vision Loss Resources.
Located just north of 50th and France, the Great Wall Restaurant has provided a delicious taste of authentic Chinese cuisine since 1981. Specializing in Sichuan and Peking dishes, they offer one of the most extensive menus in the Twin Cities. Favorites include hot and sour soup, pan-fried dumplings, and mushu pork with homemade Chinese pancakes. Stop by their Edina location or call for takeout at 952-927-4439. See the full menu at greatwallrestaurant.us.
In today's challenging world, many of us are asking, but what can I do? I'm Gail Shore with Cultural Jambalaya, and I ask the same question, so I formed a small nonprofit to try to make a difference. We create educational videos featuring my global photography and cultural experiences that we offer to teachers without charge to broaden worldviews of their students. These videos help to break down cultural barriers and promote understanding and respect for all people. That's what we do. We also know that there are many others doing great work, and we recognize them at our annual Diversity Awards. This year, we'll celebrate students from Stillwater, Asian American leaders, and educators from South St. Paul and Rochester. The Cultural Jambalaya Diversity Awards will take place Thursday, October 3rd at the Metropolitan in Golden Valley.
And while tickets for the Cultural Jambalaya are now sold out, you can still follow along what's happening by going to their social media accounts. Just search Cultural Jambalaya or visit their website at culturaljam.org. That's culturaljam.org.
It's the start of our favorite Minnesota season, football season. That's right, with all the hype and action this season brings, we know things can get loud and messy quick. Before you invite your friends and family over to watch the big game, you better call my cleaning heroes at Zero Res to clean up all those fumble moments in your home. Lucky for you, you can score big this month with great savings by getting 3 rooms pre-treated and cleaned at starting at just $139. But don't forget your air ducts, because this month you can take $50 off your duct cleaning. So call Zero Res today at 952-ZERO-RES. Or go online at ZeroResMinnesota.com and say you want the AM950 special. And what nothing but new will do, nobody knows floors better than Zero Res. Z Floors by Zero Res, partnered with Mohawk, is offering a fall all pet sale. You can save up to $1,000 on top Mohawk brands, including their number one top seller, the most durable and easy to clean Smart Strand Forever Clean carpet that is perfect for your home with pets and kids. Go to ZFloors.com to learn more about the all pet sale, or call 952-ZERO-RES and set up a free in-home consultation. Make sure to tell them AM950 sent you.
It's the Minnesota Progressive Repartee on your Friday afternoon. going to be talking about Amazon in just a second and what's going on with these Amazon delivery drivers. Because as I said in my neighborhood, I saw a rather close call between a delivery driver nearly hitting some pedestrians. But first, let's go to Gary in Minneapolis, who is on the phone line. Hey there, Gary.
Why would I hear what you got to say about Amazon? I heard they treat their workers terrible, especially the immigrants. Mm-hmm, I was just going to call. They got the green light for the come out of the open with their bigotry and their be aggressive with it. I think they used to keep more subtle about more quiet. They're out in the open much more now. Ever things like Charlottesville and the wall and locking up those kids down in Mexico, all that stuff. The guy in the White House gave him the green light. You're all open about it now.
All right, Gary, thanks so much for the call, bringing up that, the racism, unfortunately, is a lot more open since number 45 was elected. All you got to do is, of course, go back to Charlottesville when you had several very open chants that were anti-Semitic and racist, and, of course, people not even wearing hoods anymore.
Yeah,
when displaying
the president
their racism.
Sets the tone. So that is the thing, is that people feel that it's appropriate. I mean, the president has a ton of influence, no matter who it is. So when ours is speaking in a way, the rest of the country follows suit. And that's why you see things like in Chaska, this people mm-hmm. feeling that it's okay because it's someone that most people admire. Like a young boy is going to admire the president, even if they don't like it. It's someone that commands respect. And you see now just so much acceptable, blatant racism again in America, which we thought was over, but it's come back strong since Trump's been around.
And it normalizes racist attitudes because even though I think often when people say, well, Donald Trump isn't a racist, he's not directly calling for violence. No, you don't need a smoking gun. It's normalizing that language, like using words, for instance, invasion, infestation, words like that, even though he's not directly calling for anyone to take any action against immigrants, well, with the exception of that Tallahassee rally where he joked about shooting immigrants at the border, but besides the point for just a moment, that normalizes making people feel like they're other. It mm-hmm. normalizes the fact that it makes people who are white feel like they are superior to those who are people of color when you use that type of language that he's using. 952-946-6205. And I think you're right, Hunter. Yeah, just that normalization of that type of language maybe emboldens people that are in the Eastern Carver County School District, because just running through those incidents, and all you need to do is Google Eastern Carver County racism, and you can find a full list of those incidents that have all happened, by the way, within the past year. That's the past year, not something that's been happening 10 years ago or 20 years ago or 30 years ago, something that's been happening over just the past 12 months. All right, want to move on to another topic, and this is Amazon because, well, I live in a neighborhood, of course, and I live near an intersection by a frontage road in front of a highway. So the other day as I was about to take my bike out, saw a couple of kids playing near the side of the road. They were playing in the lawn, but they were getting kind of near to the street. And all of a sudden, this Amazon delivery truck comes speeding down the road. Again, I'm on a very residential street, and I would say probably at least 35, maybe even 40 miles an hour, with basically no regard for, well, anyone. Fortunately, the kids were playing on the other side of the road, so they weren't in any imminent danger, but kind of got me thinking, what would happen if an Amazon truck were to actually hit someone? Turns out this has actually happened quite often, and this jogged my memory because this incident happened a few weeks ago. But BuzzFeed apparently published this investigation yesterday, which spotlighted the ways in which Amazon has created a legal separation between itself and the drivers who carry its boxes and envelopes in what's known as the final mile. So what they're using is that several of these Amazon trucks that you might see driving around the road are just basic vehicles in general that are delivering packages. They're independent contractors, and I see you nodding your head in there.
Oh, I'm getting frustrated just hearing this.
Yeah, they're independent contractors. They're not employees of Amazon. So what does that basically mean? If they end up hitting someone, Amazon isn't responsible whatsoever. In fact, this has been challenged in several court cases around the country, and the courts have sided with Amazon, saying, well, no, it's the driver or the driving company that's going to be held responsible if there are any incidents. And this is just nuts because there's been several incidents where Amazon trucks have hit people. The New York Times talked about in a piece that was actually published today, they identified 60 accidents involving Amazon delivery contractors since June of 2015 that resulted in serious injuries, including 10 people who were killed by Amazon truck drivers since June of 2015. 10 people killed.
And this happens because Amazon has ridiculous standards. They say they can get something to you in such a short amount of time, and then they don't want to take any of the responsibility of it by having their drivers be employees. So they're putting this pressure on. It's so infuriating that companies can get away with this.
Right. And talking about the high standards they're held to, you have to have 999 out of 1,000 of your deliveries be on time. If you're not on time, you risk basically having your contract with Amazon terminated. And what also happens is that if you are running a little bit late, the Amazon dispatcher will actually call you. Someone from that Amazon warehouse is going to get on the phone and start bugging you. So, of course, that adds to even more anxiety if you're one of those drivers out there. And you're not an employee, so you really have no recourse whatsoever to try to get better conditions, because Amazon can just say, if you're an independent contractor, all right, well, we're pretty much done with you.
I'm so sick of society being this way, and it doesn't have to be.
And this is the way the economy is largely going. This is almost like a large-scale type of Uber operation, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It's just everything's moving in this direction.
I wouldn't be surprised if at some point in the next 10 to 20 years, over half the workforce are not employees. They're going to be independent contractors.
It definitely is a possibility of the future.
You know, another thought I had, I was talking with a friend of mine a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about the movie Office Space. Do you remember this back in 1999?
Uh-huh.
It talked about, you know, the dullness of working in a corporate culture.
Yeah.
You know what would make a really effective sequel to Office Space is if you were to update it, but actually talk about the gig economy. If they were to poke fun at the gig economy and these independent contractors, that would be a very relevant Office Space to have now. Today.
Well, so many people are involved
exactly.
in it, too. That would be a huge pool of people that had personal experience.
Yeah. Just going back to Amazon here, how they can classify people as independent contractors, I can kind of see the way why they would be able to do it. Let's say if you're Amazon and you need a package, if delivered right away. I mean, fine, go out and hire some person to do it. Not a person, but maybe a company to go out and do it. I could buy that maybe as being an independent contractor if you're doing it very infrequently. But if the vast majority or a large number of your fleet of deliveries are coming from people that you're classifying as independent contractors, that to me seems more like an employee, because you're telling someone you have to be somewhere at a certain time, and you're putting them under all sorts of regulations from your company saying you have to be on time to this no matter what. To me, that seems more like an employee. At some point in the future, we need to come up with a better distinction between independent contractors and employees, because again, as I said, I can maybe buy if Amazon or even smaller companies are infrequently having to hire someone for a delivery. Maybe you could classify someone as an independent contractor under that scenario. But if you're using it for the majority of your deliveries or for the majority of your work, to me, that's looking more like an employee rather than a contractor. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Love to know what you think about this distinction between employees and contractors. Again, it's something that whoever the next president is certainly going to have to deal with. And if we go into the next recession, I think it's especially going to come to the forefront of this country, because that's how a lot of people are going to be having to get by, more so than today. It's going to be just exponentially increased. And when we have an economic downturn where people end up getting laid off or fired from their jobs because of cost cutting, they're probably going to turn to the gig economy. And as we brought up with Amazon and, of course, other companies, it's very easy to be mistreated if you're classified as a contractor instead of an employee, since you lose lots and lots of protections. We're going to take a break and come back with more of the Minnesota Progressive Repartee, take your phone calls, and then move into a discussion about what's happening with vaping. There's been several incidents and reports of vaping-related deaths, and I'm wondering if people who are against the legalization of recreational marijuana might try to take advantage of this to try to slow the momentum of legalizing recreational marijuana. Of course, we do have to be very concerned about what's happening with vaping, but I feel like the debate could definitely get clouded in light of what's been happening over the past few weeks with these reports of vaping deaths. 952-946-6205. We'll talk about that and more up next on the Repartee. It's Brett and Hunter on your Friday.
Heartbeat for the week. I'm Elizabeth Horeb, co-host of Connections Radio, and today I'll be letting you in on some wonderful, artful events happening this weekend in the Minneapolis area. This year's Monarch Festival will occur tomorrow, Saturday, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. The festival celebrates the monarch butterfly's amazing 2,300-mile migration from Minnesota to Mexico, with music, food, dance, hands-on art, native plant sales, and plenty of opportunities to get up close with monarch butterflies, learn about their habitats, and what you can do to make a difference. The festival will be held just east of Lake Nokomis Community Center. Go to www.monarchfestival.org for more information. Frank Theater is thrilled to present two new short plays by Carol Churchill, Escaped Alone and Here We Go, deliver an evening of theater by perhaps the greatest living playwright. Churchill's sizzling work, Escaped Alone, presents a 55-minute elliptical view of the apocalypse. Fantasy intricately wired with politics, four women in their 70s gather for tea in an English garden. Combining small talk and the horrors of modern life, their gossipy everyday conversations lay bare their psychological problems. From depression to fear of cats, from an accidentally dead husband to agoraphobia, punctuated starkly with surreal apocalyptic monologues. Which world is real? How are they connected? In the second piece, Churchill peers into the void with Here We Go, a poetic triptych of mortality. In the first scene, a group has gathered at a party after a funeral, remembering the man who has passed. In the second scene, a man observes the afterlife, but has he died? And in the third wordless section, we see the intimate relationship between a frail man winding down his life with a caregiver. Escaped Alone and Here We Go will have performances tonight through Sunday, and then every weekend through September 29th at Gremlin Theater in Minneapolis. Go to www.franktheater.org to learn more about these shows and to reserve your tickets today. That's Art Beat for the week. I'm Elizabeth Horeb, co-host of Connections Radio Show, airing live Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Hackers, ransomware, security breaches. As I speak, cyber criminals are stepping up their attacks on businesses like yours. Hi, Mark Sommerfeld of Rimark. Rimark has the expertise and experience necessary to navigate your company to safe water. We launch our process with a network security assessment. We'll uncover the hidden threats to your business and provide you with a map to peace of mind. And it's free. Call 651-328-8900 or go to RimarkIT.com to schedule your free security assessment today.
The Center for Spirituality and Healing is offering mindfulness-based stress reduction, an 8-week course that will help you learn about the physiology and science of stress. You'll learn about taking control of your life, being aware of influences that affect your health and well-being, finding peace of mind, and returning to balance in a chaotic world. Discover how to consciously deal with stress, pain, illness, and the challenges of everyday life. Beginning September 19th, space is limited. Register now at csh.umn.edu.
With your AM 950 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Tonight will be cloudy with a low around 60. Friday, mostly sunny with a high near 75 and a low around 57. Saturday, a chance of rain with a high of 68 and a low around 54. Sunday, the rain continues with a high of 64 and a low around 55.
AM 950 is brought to you by Eat Local Minnesota. Break away from the usual and find a list of one-of-a-kind local restaurants at eatlocalminnesota.com. From elegant to casual, exotic to comfort food, they've got everything and more. Find the full list of incredible nearby restaurants at eatlocalminnesota.com.
Back on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. Yeah, I mean, if you're an independent contractor, that's someone like, well, let's say here at the station, we have a water problem. If we're bringing out a plumber, that's a contractor. We're not telling them they have to be here at a very specific time and giving them strident regulations that they have to follow. They're not an employee. They're a contractor. But what Amazon and Uber and other companies are doing, they're basically employees, but they want the benefits of being able to call them a contractor instead of an employee. So something's got to be dealt with. We need a much better definition, or maybe more importantly, we need that definition and distinction actually enforced by the courts, since, well, there's been several dozen cases where people have tried to sue Amazon after they've been hit by one of these delivery trucks, and, well, the courts have said, well, Amazon's not responsible. You have to go after the driver themselves or the company that's contracted by Amazon. Let's go to the phone lines and talk to Reverend Jack. Hey there, Reverend Jack.
Hey, boss. How you doing, man?
Excellent. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. So two things real quick, if I can. First of all, earlier when you were talking about how the president, you know, even if people don't like him, how it's, you know, it changes the culture and people start thinking like, you know, he talks a certain way and it makes it okay. You know, way back in the day, if you look at pictures from like the 50s and before, men always wore hats. They always wore hats. Mm-hmm. You know why they stopped wearing hats? Because John Kennedy didn't wear a hat. And all of a sudden, wow, it became culturally acceptable for a man to go out in public without a hat on. You know, look at any picture from the 20s, 30s, 40s. And that's, so anyways, I'm not making that up. But the thing I wanted to say about the contractor thing, yeah, that's a racket. You know, I also do paint houses. I've been doing it for years, on and off, work for myself and for other people. And one way that people try to do this thing is they hire you on, but they call you an independent contractor so that they, number one, they don't have to take taxes out for you. Mm-hmm. And number two, they're not responsible. If I fall off a ladder, you know, it's on me. Or if I spill paint on the roof, well, then I'm responsible for that. But they still want to, you know, tell you what to do, you know, treat you like an employee. But so it's kind of a scam, you know, to get around the tax thing and put all the responsibility and liability on the employee. But it would be different if I could be like, well, I'm going for a 4-hour lunch and not take any heat for it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But so it's kind of, so for Amazon to do that, you know, to say, yeah, they're, you know, we're not responsible. They're their own independent contractor, and then they don't have to give them the benefits or whatever. There needs to be some regulations on that kind of deal. I mean, if you're a independent contractor, you should have, you should have a lot more flexibility on what you do and where you go and when you do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because going back to your scenario there, Reverend Jack, if you're talking about being a painter, or in the example I brought up, if you're a plumber, to me that does seem, yep, generally like an independent contractor. But as you said, if they're putting all sorts of restrictions on you and they're treating you more like an employee, well, then you're no longer a contractor, because, again, like, exactly, I said, as a contractor, they shouldn't be telling you, you have to be here at this specific time, you can only take lunches at this time, yep, and so on and so on. That's an employee.
No, I quit a job this spring after like 4 days of working for this guy because he had me set up as a independent contractor. They give you a 1099 at the end of the year for the taxes and stuff. Mm-hmm. But he was like, I took a 45-minute lunch, and he was like, well, you're supposed to take 30 minutes. And he's like, you work for me. I'm like, no, I don't, buddy.
No.
So, you know.
No. Essentially.
But I told him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I said, if you want me to, if that's the deal, then, you know, take out my taxes, do all that stuff, you know, insure me. As far, I'm talking about just like basic liability. I mean, like I said, if I get hurt on the job, I'm not even covered. I'm supposed to have that insurance on myself if I'm an independent contractor. So.
Yeah, exactly. That's a great point there, Jack. I mean, the taxes are certainly part of it, but I think the bigger thing is that liability piece, because,
absolutely,
yeah, you can face a ton of expenses if you end up getting sued. If, yeah, like you say, if you get hurt on your job or someone that's working for you, yeah, you, there can be lots of legal bills. And, of course, by classifying you as a contractor, they're no longer responsible for that. Hey,
that's
Reverend.
That's right.
Hey, Reverend Jack, thanks so much. Great to hear from you. Let's move on to Mark in Fridley. Hey there, Mark.
Hey, guys, I want to get onto that topic, but first, maybe next week we can talk about this, because there was a massive federal court ruling in Virginia on Wednesday where a federal judge ruled that the government terrorist watch list violates the civil rights of Americans placed underneath it. Mm-hmm. And that is what got me jammed up in the first place in 2001. I worked for a massive a government contractor that was partnered
with the Defense Department. Mark, just before you move on, so when you were on this terror watch list, you said, was this before or after 9/11? Because my question is, did we even have a terror watch list prior to 9/11?
Yes, we did. We had many of them. And for instance, in 1980, anybody can look this up, we had the FBI had the main core database, which was Americans in the United States on a watch. You know, we're talking about J. Edgar Hoover was running the show for 40 years, and he wanted a record of every single American's activities. And in 2001, when I started warning people about this, and that's why I was attacked in federal court, and then I warned Governor or Senator Dayton at the time in 2006 about this. He did submitted an FBI Senate FOIA request on my behalf, and when we finally received it after waiting 6 months, the FBI told him, as a Senate member and member of the Senate Judiciary Committee, he was not entitled to receive information about this particular request. And my request was, how many Americans are being subjected to being put on the terrorist watch list in America, in the United States, that are innocent as a means of attacking, weaponizing, and retribution against people that are journalists, lawyers, judges? And this ruling that just happened on Wednesday, this should be front page news. Mm-hmm. We should all be talking about this. And I'll get into it with you, you know, next week. But Mark Dayton pretty much found out in 2006 that I've been on the watch list since about 2002. And it's come with great consequence. And that's why I spoke about Catherine Gunn in the movie Official Secrets. Official Secrets is what we call in the United States state's secrets privilege. Mm-hmm. Everything that I was a national security whistleblower associated to was regarded as a state secret privilege, where that nobody could help you. A lawyer couldn't look into your case because they were threatened by the FBI. Journalists couldn't be look into your case because they would be threatened by the FBI. So this is a massive, massive federal court rule. I'll send you something about it, but
sure.
Hopefully we can talk about it. But associated to that, you're talking about holds harmless and the sham of 1099s, mm-hmm. but it's how corporations, this is the United Corporations of America, and how a company like Amazon can absolve itself of any legal liability from the people they, you know, employ because of these loopholes. Now, we got a company called Boeing, which is one of the biggest companies in the world, that knowingly built planes that would fall out of the sky. And when they started falling out of the sky and hundreds of people were killed, they blamed the pilots and then later admitted. Nobody's going to jail. We have the opioid epidemic that has killed 600,000 Americans and will continue to kill people. And Purdue Pharmaceutical wants to pay a $10 billion fine and walk away. China does something right. They take their white-collar criminals and their corrupt politicians, and those are capital crimes when they impact the life and liberty and economic well-being of more than 100 people. And the way that these things work are that, you know, the Congress gives these loopholes and these extensions and these rights because they have access to lobbyists. What I'm saying is that 93% of Americans want gun control, background checks, waiting periods. 93%. We will never get it. We want national health care like the rest of the world. We will never get it. We want to get rid of Citizens United because that's how these corporations can get these laws and rules and regulations written on their behalf to the detriment of us. We'll never get it. And I just want to make an example of this. The dive boat in California, the first thing the owner of this company did, of this corporation did, was go to his lawyer and file a maritime pre-Civil War law that limited his liability. He's not concerned about the family members. He's not, you know, concerned about the rules and the regulations. He's worried about the bottom line. And corporations are only worried about one thing, the bottom line.
Hey, Mark, going to have to leave it there just because we are coming up on a break, and I do have to give away these Seavers Fall Festival tickets, but some great information there and regarding what he was talking about with the terror watch list, Ilhan Omar, at least. And Congress is doing some good work there and trying to at least have a little more due process if you are someone who ends up getting placed on that terror watch list. So let's switch gears now. We got to give away a pair of tickets to Seavers Fall Festival, which begins a week from today. They have their brand new location located in Shakopee, three times bigger than their old location. This is now their forever home. There's lots of great things you can do over there at Seavers Fall Festival. You got pony rides, you got pumpkin blasters, camel rides, hay rides. They have an arcade, face painting, just a whole lot of fun that you can have over at Seavers Fall Festival. We will be giving away a pair of tickets to Seavers Fall Festival to caller number two. So got to be quick with those dialing fingers. If you are caller number two, you win a pair of tickets to Seavers Fall Festival. Again, that begins coming up next Friday and will run through, I believe, early November. Caller number two. We'll take a break and be back with more on the Repartee.
This is a tough hurricane. One of the wettest we've ever seen from the standpoint of water.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
Hi, my name is Frank Brown, owner of Minuteman Press Uptown, and I'd like to tell you why you should choose us for all your printing needs. While it's true Minuteman Press Uptown provides the highest quality printing services and graphic design, there's another important reason why you should choose us. We share your values. We believe our employees are a vital part of our success. At Minuteman Press Uptown, I set out to create jobs with a living wage and benefits. I believe in second chances for people who've made mistakes in the past. We're a proud union shop and would love to earn your business.
This is Chad, owner of AM 950. Frank and his team at Minuteman Press Uptown are AM 950's go-to for all printing and promotional needs. I was blown away by the knowledge and passion Minuteman Press Uptown had to help me grow my business. Even if you're not sure where to start, their graphic design team can create an effective campaign and strategy to increase your visibility. So choose a print shop who shares your values. They work with businesses, nonprofits, and political campaigns. Call 612-870-0777 or visit mpuptown.com.
AM 950 is hosting a debate watching party on Thursday, September 12th at the Park Tavern in St. Louis Park. Come watch with like-minded progressives as the Democratic presidential candidates debate all the important issues and figure out how to beat Trump. Doors will open a half hour before the start of the debate. Your ticket includes free debatable appetizers with a cash bar. We'll play a debate-themed Blue No Matter Who bingo with lots of great prizes. Matt McNeil and the Repartee crew will be there. And if you have ideas for our weekly Tuesday Solution show, we'd love to hear them. Debate watching tickets are only $15 and they will go fast, so make sure you order now at am950radio.com. So let's watch the debate together on Thursday, September 12th at the Park Tavern in St. Louis Park as we figure out who will dump Trump in 2020. Order your tickets now at am950radio.com. That's am950radio.com. And if you have any questions, call us at 952-946-8885.
Did you just look down at your phone? You did it again, didn't you? You know, you're flying down the road in a 3-ton hunk of steel, and a text takes your eyes off the road for an average of 5 seconds. At 55 miles per hour, that's long enough to travel the length of a football field and cause some serious damage. Turn it off. Trust me. Whatever it is, you'll live.
Learn more at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Thanks to everyone who called for those free tickets to Seavers Fall Festival, the pair of tickets. Hunter's on the phone line. We do have a winner. We'll get that name in just a moment. Hey, but want to bring up, before we went to break, you probably heard this clip of Donald Trump saying, "This is the wettest hurricane on record from the standpoint of water." Kind of a funny clip there. And the reason why I'm playing that is that the next time you hear that sound clip, which spoiler, will be on Monday. The next time you hear that clip on Monday during the Minnesota Progressive Repartee, call us, because as soon as you hear that clip, if you're the first caller, you will win another pair of tickets to Seaver's Fall Festival. So listen to that clip from President Trump coming up on Monday, where he says, "This is the wettest hurricane we've had from the standpoint of water." Wow, and we thought we had some bad clips from President George W. Bush during his administration. At some point, Hunter, I think we need to make like a poster of all the infamous Donald Trump quotes.
Ooh, a poster.
Huh? I had one of all the Bush quotes.
Yeah, and Bush-isms.
I looked them up, and I thought some of these were fake, but they were all true.
Of what? The Bush
dumb
ones?
Dumb things he said, yeah. Dumb things he said over the years.
Bush-isms were classic. And
I know.
Yeah, Trump... it would be great to get the two of them together and just...
Who can say the dumber things?
Uh-huh. The yeah. thing is, Bush did press conferences. Trump hasn't done...
Yeah.
He's done, like, two his mm-hmm. entire presidency. But Bush would do them regularly, like, throughout a couple of weeks. But Trump has protested doing that. He does a lot of things... unconventional, to say the least.
Absolutely. Hey, one more news story to hit up before we go. So a Minnesotan has died from a vaping-related respiratory illness, which is the fourth such death reported nationally amid a growing U.S. outbreak. Don't have a lot of time to get into detail on this, but I don't know, Hunter, do you think this could have an impact on legalizing recreational marijuana, where you get some of these people that say, well, look at what's happening with vaping. If we legalize recreational marijuana, more people are going to vape.
Possibly it could affect it. But what I want to point out with this vaping issue that's going on is how the news is covering it, and they're phrasing mm-hmm. it as the vaping epidemic. And the way the coverage is it's a lot similar to how they cover opioids. But to put in context, as for how many hospitalizations there have been over vaping is less than how many people die per day from opioids.
Wow, so that is an...
We are talking completely different.
Oh, they're apples to oranges. Yeah, I don't even think using the word epidemic is the right term for that as
well. Exactly, but the coverage, you wouldn't be able to tell that.
Hey, how about this? I got a text from my friend who actually told me a story about how he was recently hit by an Amazon van. Basically, it was an Amazon van that failed to merge in a lane and ended up sideswiping him. He's still in a little bit of his battle with his insurance company trying to figure out who's going to pay for that. So, personal story there as well, what's happening with independent contractors and Amazon. That's all the time we have for the Repartee. We'll see you Monday. You think you're gonna get
around it. Deliver aid in the Abaco Islands, as distribution is impossible.